Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He came in seventh on the all-time list. That's right, seventh. He came in behind Lincoln and Reagan, FDR, even behind Bill Clinton and George Bush. He came in seventh. That's where Americans in a recent poll of the greatest presidents placed George Washington. Can you imagine? The founder of our nation, seventh place. Now, sure, it was a popular poll, and so it really dealt with people's feelings and attitudes, and not so much in fact, but still, seventh place. Fans of George Washington immediately mobilized to do a makeover of his image. They tried to brand him a little differently, and so instead of the pale-skinned wig that we see on the dollar bill, they started portraying him as a young man, frontier explorer, and a confident general of the army. Popular opinion is based so much on feeling rather than what the person actually did. Their hope was to persuade feelings, to improve the image of our first president, an image makeover, if you will. Image makeovers are nothing new. They've been going on for a long time. History is filled with attempts at making over the image of different characters. Take that of Judas Iscariot. The image of Judas captures the attention not only of biblical scholars, Jewish historians, even psychologists and sociologists take a crack at reviving his image. So sometimes Judas is portrayed simply as a little greedy, money-hungry. Other times he's portrayed as confused, disillusioned. Some even portray Judas as the hero of the story, the only one who had the guts to stand up and force the issue. You know, it'd be nice if one of those attempts at his image makeover would actually work. Because at least it would help us to sort out what's an unsettling part of this story. Because sometimes it's hard to understand those traitorous actions of Judas. Many of the other events surrounding the Passion of Christ are completely understandable. I mean, we can understand why the Romans did the things they did to try and keep peace in their region. We can understand why Pilate did what he did to try and prevent a riot from breaking out. We can even understand the soldiers. They were only doing what they were trained for, after all. You may not like it, but at least we can understand it. And then there's Judas. His actions just don't add up, do they? And so we offer explanations to try and make sense of it all. Maybe Judas was just a bad apple from the very beginning, and it finally came through in the end. Or people speculate that he just had a sudden change of heart. The temptation of money, the lure of power, it was just too much for him. All of these explanations seek to get a handle on Judas. Maybe to try and rehabilitate his image. If not that, at least to help us understand him a little better. It's important. Because if we can't understand and explain Judas, we have a problem. Because if Judas can't be explained, we have a traitor for no reason. If we don't have a reason, we're left with one of the 12 most blessed men ever. He spent 2 to 3 years walking with Jesus, talking with him, learning from him. He was invited to be one of Jesus' closest friends, handpicked to be part of this special group. A man who could ask Jesus anything he wanted at any time. We've got a man with all of that who rejects it all. It makes no sense. What's going on? And that's the scary part. Because think about it. If someone who had all of that going for him, and yet he could still become a traitor and betray his Lord, then what hope do we have? If one of the chosen 12 blew it and fell prey to sin and evil, what makes you think you're safe? If Judas could reject Jesus for no good reason, then what's keeping you from doing the same thing? See, the story of Judas shakes us to the very core. Because when you see Judas fall, you realize that the only thing separating you from Judas? Absolutely not. Judas, blessed by God, could still betray God. And you, blessed by God, can still betray God. And you do. No, I don't mean you sell out Jesus for a few pieces of silver to your friends. No. If we had that opportunity, how many of us would have the strength and integrity not to do that? But still, you are tempted. You are tempted to betray him in different forms. And whatever form that betrayal manifests itself in, it really is a matter of broken trust. Broken trust in God, in his word, in his promises. And broken trust lies at the heart of so much hurt in our world, doesn't it? 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. It's the same for Christians as it is for non-Christians. And no marriage ends without some form of betrayal. Infidelity, indifference, and apathy can kill a marriage. Children are betrayed by parents who don't have the time to talk to them, the courage to discipline them, or the commitment to listen to them. And parents are betrayed by children when they mock them, neglect them, and dishonor them. Betrayal takes many forms. And whenever it does, it shatters homes, it strains work relationships, it destroys friendship. And at the heart of that betrayal is broken trust. And you also betray the Lord. You betray the Lord and his truth when you remain silent when you need to speak his word, or when you ignore the opportunity to proclaim his gospel because you're afraid of the opinions of others. These are acts of betrayal, broken trust. It's the very nature and definition of sin. Sin is broken trust. When trust is broken, an image makeover just doesn't do the trick. It's not enough. When trust is broken, nothing will fix it and make it all better. You can stand before the hurt and searching gaze with nothing to say. Well, what can you say? The deed is done. The sin is reality. The betrayal is complete. There's no excuse. No explanation. So often, apologies ring hollow and do no good at all. And trust is broken, the that cannot be easily repaired. An image makeover just is not enough. What's needed is an identity makeover. You need to get a fresh new start, to start over from scratch, to get another chance. Trust needs to be remade. And that's what God does. He remakes you. He gives you a new identity. He recreates trust. And you start over from scratch. A new creation. Such a remarkable gift from God comes at a great price. It is costly indeed. Something has to be done about your breaking of trust, and Jesus does it. As he is betrayed with the kiss of Judas, he takes the penalty, he pays the price. The shame, the emptiness, the suffering, they're all his. And the forgiveness, the freedom, the joy, they're now all yours. He dies and gives up his spirit so that the spirit can breathe life into you, a new creation. When trust has been broken, the image makeover will never do. What you need is a completely new you. And in Jesus, that's what you get. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, new has come. And we don't need to give Judas an image makeover either, or to find an explanation that makes sense of his treachery and betrayal. It's actually better that way. It's better that the gospel writer gives us no explanation. It's better that it makes no sense. It's better that the story of Judas can rock and frighten us to the very core. Because explanation and understanding doesn't restore broken trust. Only the incredible forgiveness of Christ. Only the new reality of God's new creation can overcome and conquer the reality of broken trust. And it does. For you are a new creation. In Christ, you are restored. And you are trustworthy again. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.